skimming the surface. I've been sleeping far too long, and I keep on chiseling, keep on chiseling, keep on chiseling, chiseling the surface. I don't know what you mean, said the man with the shovel, shoveling the ashes. I've been digging in the frozen ground, and I keep on shoveling, keep on shoveling, keep on shoveling, shoveling the ashes, chiseling the surface, fire in the furnace, a hammer in the anvil, hammer in the anvil.
Sunday morning, everyone. It is 9 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts Free Farm Radio. I'm your host, Don Lee Brown, on this Sunday, February the 25th, 2018 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. talking sports. Love to get you involved in sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. Our phone number, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636, if you like numbers. That's the same number to call. And just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Okay, let me begin by apologizing for not being on the air last Sunday. Last Sunday, we had some snow. And by the time I get through shoveling out my car and everything else, I am in no condition to come to the station at 4 o'clock in the morning. So, therefore, like I said, I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning just to get all my sports stuff together, all the latest scores and everything else. And to do that and then shovel out snow, you know, and then come back in the house to clean up to get to the station. I have to get up at midnight probably. As it is, I do go to bed at 9:30, in case you're interested, so I can get up at 2 and get my stuff and get here fairly early on time, depending on what's going on. But anyway, I apologize. I'm back. We're here. They said that we were going to get some precipitation so far. This morning, it hasn't arrived as yet. We'll have weather update sometime around 6:30 on the Sounds of Praise Ministry, and I know that's going to happen. Why? Because I host that program also. So we're going to talk sports from now until 5 a.m., and then we're going to get back to Sounds of Praise from 5 until 8 a.m., and just in case you didn't know, we are doing the countdown of the top 200 hits in the gospel field here on Sounds of Praise for the year 2017. But this is sports time, so let's go right into the NB of A. Yesterday, the 76ers 116, the Magic 105. The Heat 115, the Grizzlies 89. Celtics 121, the Knicks 112. Warriors 112, the Thunder 80. The Timberwolves 122, the Bulls 104. The Trailblazers 106, and the Suns 104. The Jazz 97 and the Mavericks 90, and the Lakers 113, the Kings 108. For the Celtics in their game against the Knicks, Horford got 13 points and 10 rebounds. Theis got 6 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and a block. Tatum got 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, and a block. Irving got 31 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and 2 steals. Jaylen Brown, 24 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. Ojeleye did not score. Morris got 5 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and a steal. Monroe got 6 points, 3 rebounds. Larkin got 1 assist. Smart got 11 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. And Terry Rozier got 14 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. Now, if the Celtics bench can continue to produce like this, and Aaron Baines didn't play, he had a banged up elbow in the game the previous night at Detroit. I don't know how serious it is. I haven't heard anything about how serious it is. They thought there was a possibility they would have played last night, but he didn't. So therefore, I guess they're being cautious, hopefully. Nothing serious. We need all the rebounding interior help we can get. But I was just saying, if we can continue to get 25 points out of Smart and Rozier off the bench, and the starters do what they're supposed to do, I think we're going to be in pretty good shape this year going into the playoffs. And I, as I said on previous programs, I thought the Celtics' swoon, so to speak, was based upon the fact they'd played so many games early in the year, close-together games early in the year without getting their normal rest that they would normally get, just so they could get that game in London. And coming back, you could tell that they were still drooping even though they had some time off. the flight over there probably didn't help, and over there and back. And so, therefore, I think that they're going to rebound now after the All-Star break. I look for them to come pretty close to playing like they played at the beginning of the year when they had that 16-game winning streak. And this is, of course, barring injury to any of the major players on the club. I got an email last night from my son, oldest son, Scott. And he mentioned that, 4 years ago? Anyway, whenever Julius Randle left college, they don't one and done type thing, that I thought he was a guy that the Celtics should draft. And he didn't like his game at all in college. But I did, primarily because he used to get his points. I guess you would call them garbage points because they didn't run much of an offense for him. But he, to me, looked like a slightly bigger version of Cedric Maxwell, who back in the day, they didn't run plays for him either. But he was always a key contributor. You know, I don't know what his average was finally, but... to me, you could count on him in big games for 10, 12, 15 points, a whole bunch of rebounds, solid defense. And that's what I saw in Randall. But right now, I don't know if they have a need for Randall, even though my son said that I guess I was right on now that Randall's game has improved quite a bit. And that's what I thought that would happen. You know, he would get to the pros, you'd have some problems like everybody else does generally coming out of 1 year of college basketball. But he would adjust, and under Brad Stevens would do pretty well. And so far, it looks like that is actually what is happening. Only thing, he's doing it for L.A. Only thing, right now, that was three or four years ago whenever he came out of college. But right now, with the team that the Celtics have, Theis getting 19 points, leading scorer two nights ago, when he got his first start, with the progress that Jaylen Brown and Tatum are making, I don't think we have a spot on for him. What we need, as I said, would be probably a shooting guard or a small forward like Tyreke Evans. Maybe we might not even need that the way Smart and Rozier are playing. Okay, and if we're going to really wish on a star, getting Gordon Hayward back for the playoffs wouldn't hurt either. And so we're not going to rush him. You know, he has hopefully a very long future here with the Celtics. And I don't know how they're going to handle us when he comes back. With I don't know, Tatum or Brown probably moving to the bench, maybe Brown's doing well at shooting guard, Tatum is playing small forward right now, with Horford playing the power forward, and occasionally switching into center. But it's going to be interesting. I'm assuming Hayward comes back and he's near the Hayward that he was last year or in the previous years, that he'll be a starter somewhere. But that just makes the bench that much better, because we're going to have a Brown or a Tatum coming off the bench. And the bench is looking good and improving. Like I said, let me give you what happened. We got 25 points from Smart and Rozier off the bench combined. And we got another 11 from Morris and Monroe. We get that kind of bench production, we're going to be a very good team going into the playoffs. 420 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. On the internet also, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this the Sunday, February 25th, 2018 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. unless I get snowed out. And love to get your input from what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. To do that, you give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Like I always say, just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. I'd love to hear your perspective, what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That number again, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
It's more than food and food. It's more than food and food.
The WMFO iPhone application is now available for free from the Apple iTunes App Store. Yes, now you can enjoy WMFO's unique freeform mix of music, commentary, and educational programming from anywhere in the world. You've got an iPhone or iPod Touch and access to the internet. With WMFO's free iPhone app, you also get instant access to the Spinatron playlist and the station's website, while talking to the current DJ is just a few finger taps away. Plus, even more features are on the way. WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on the FM, and WMFO.org on the web. Go ahead, upgrade your freeform.
It's 4:27 here on WMFO 91.5 and FM dial, streaming live on WMFO.org, multicasting, iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. Sunday, February the 25th, 2018 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports virtually every Sunday from about 4 until 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation. You have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO. Let's go to college, men's college basketball yesterday. Virginia 66, Pittsburgh 37. Upset. Unranked Creighton defeated Villanova, ranked number 3, 89-83. That game went into overtime. Duke 60, Syracuse 44. Another upset. Kansas, ranked number 8, defeated Texas Tech, ranked number 6, 74-72. Gonzaga 79, BYU 65. Florida, upset. Florida, who was also unranked, defeated Auburn, ranked number 12, 72-66. And another upset, Wichita State, unranked, defeated SMU, ranked number, I didn't write it down. Anyway, Wichita State defeated SMU, 84-78. Another upset. Oregon, unranked, defeated Arizona, ranked number 14, 98-93. That was also an overtime game. Clemson, 75. Georgia Tech, 67. Michigan, 85. Maryland, 61. Tennessee, 73. Mississippi, 65. West Virginia, 85. Iowa State, 70. St. Mary's, 67. Santa Clara, 40. And Middle Tennessee, 79. UAB, 54. And that was the top 25, teams in the top 25 in men's college basketball. Let's go to the ladies yesterday. UConn still rolling right along. UConn, 80. SMU, 36. Baylor, 85. TCU, 53. Texas, 72. Iowa State, 59. UCLA, 78. Utah, 71. That was overtime. South Florida, 84. Cincinnati, 65. Belmont, 84. Tennessee State, 42. And Oklahoma State, 79. West Virginia, 69. Excuse me. In that UConn ladies game, Williams got 5 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. Collier got 16 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. Samuelson got 23 points, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists. Dangerfield got 1 point, 5 rebounds, and an assist. Nurse got 13 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. Stevens got 14 points, 14 rebounds off the bench, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Irwin got 3 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Kamara didn't score, but got 2 rebounds. Bent didn't score, got 2 rebounds and a steal. Coombs did not score, got a rebound. Gordon didn't score, got 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. And Walker got 6 points and 4 rebounds. The Connecticut Lady Huskies still rolling right along. Haven't seen all of the women's college basketball teams out there, but I think it's going to be hard to knock off the Huskies. I think they have revenge. They only lost one player from last year's team, and that team only lost one game. So there you go. And that was what? The next to the championship game. So anyway, looks like Gino Auriemma and the ladies are rolling again. And so we look forward for another great March Madness on the ladies' side of the college basketball scene. 4:31, excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. Pardon me. Got to get a drink. Orange juice, I'm talking about orange juice. After this next break. Okay, 4:31 here on WMFO in Medford. Let's go. Where are we going to go? Let's go to the National Hockey League. National Hockey League. Yesterday, Flyers 5 and the Senators 3. The Flames 5 and the Avalanche 1. Maple Leafs 4 and the Bruins 3. Lightning 4 and the Canadiens 3. That was a shootout. Red Wings 3 and the Hurricanes 1. The Panthers 6 and the Penguins 5. The Capitals 5 and the Sabres 1. The Blue Jackets 3 and the Blackhawks 2. The Jets 5 and the Stars 3. The Coyotes 2 and the Ducks zip. New Jersey 2 and the Islanders 1. And the Oilers 4 and the Kings 3. Pardon me. I'll get this squared away. Bear with me. In that Bruins game, at 6:11 of the first period, Marchand got his 23rd goal of the year with assists from Pasternak and Bergeron. Bruins won in the Maple Leafs zip. At 7:15, however, Marner came back with his 16th goal of the year with assists from Nylander and Polak, and that tied it at 1 apiece. At 10:30, Kadri got his 22nd goal of the year on the power play with assists from Van Riemsdyk and Marner, and that made it 2-1, Maple Leafs. But at 15:02, Marchand got his 24th goal of the year, all this in the first period, again with assists from Pasternak and Bergeron. At the end of one period, 2-2, Bruins in the Maple Leafs. In the second period, 1:55 of the second period, DeBrusk got his 12th goal of the year with assists from Spooner and Krejcik, and that made it 3-2 Bruins. But at 19:04 of the second period, Kadri got his 23rd goal of the year on the power play, again with assists from Marner and Gardiner this time. And that was it going into the third period. And it wasn't until 18:37 of the third period that Hainsey got his 4th goal of the year with assists from Nylander and Marner. And that was the final. The Toronto Maple Leafs 4 and the Bruins 3. Rask had 32 saves. Anderson had 20. And so the problem was that the Maple Leafs were getting tons of shots on the Bruins' goal as opposed to the 20 saves that Gardner had, Anderson had for the Maple Leafs. So the Bruins got 23 shots. The Maple Leafs had 36 shots, and that's the reason there. But, you know, here again, and I didn't do this in the for the Celtics in the NBA, but the Celtics, you know, after losing Hayward in the very first 5 minutes of their first game, got this acts together, and they, you know, pulled it out and got really going, and for quite a period of time they were leading. Don't tell me I don't have it here. They were leading the NBA East. Matter of fact, they were leading the NBA, period, for a long period of time. But, as I said, with all the games they were playing prior to going to London for that special game over there, which made money for some people, I guess, and maybe perhaps got some NBA fans who, you know, probably hadn't seen up close NBA basketball. So it was a money save, but it certainly did not help the Celtics, and they came back, and you could tell that they were not the same team defensively, because they weren't a great shooting team, and haven't been a great shooting team, although I think they've improved somewhat over last year. But anyway, the Bruins, as I was saying, prior to the beginning of the season, what I'm saying, they, to me, are like the Celtics, except they weren't winning. And they had, a bunch of, veterans, mixed in with a whole bunch of new names. Some people I never even heard of. I guess they were playing their rookie year, or they came from other ball clubs or whatever. But somewhere along the line, Butch Cassidy got the whip out, and they started playing really great hockey. Probably, I think someone said, the hardest team in the National Hockey League. At one point, they were, I think, 15 points behind Tampa Bay. And what did Tampa Bay do? I don't think the Lightning played. Did the Lightning play? Yeah, Lightning played. So they gained, and they won. So they gained a point. They gained 2 points. They're 87 points, and the Bruins 82. But the Bruins at one point were just 1 point behind. But, we're still in there, and I would never have thought at the beginning of the year that they would be that hot. Of course, I guess the surprise of the... is the Vegas Knights, who got a bunch of players from a bunch of different teams and had either the best or second best record, and still have right now, I think, the second best record in the National Hockey League, and they are leading the Pacific Division by quite a bit over San Jose. Nashville and Winnipeg are battling it out in the Central Division of the Western Conference, and Pittsburgh and Washington, the Bruins just cannot seem to beat. I don't know the last time they beat the Washington team, whatever they are. Washington, whatever. And but Washington is 1 point behind Pittsburgh. And then the Penguins lost. And actually, the Washington now is a 1 point ahead of Pittsburgh. And Philadelphia... the Flyers also won, so they moved up. They're tied with Pittsburgh now. And New Jersey's not that far behind either. And the Bruins, hopefully, barring injuries, hopefully they'll pick up and be able to put it together for when the playoffs start. And we'll see if they can go deeper in the playoffs than they have been going the past few years. Over in the NBA, and I said I didn't do this, and the Celtics win last night in Toronto, did not play. That makes the Celtics 42-19, Toronto 41-17, and they are half a game ahead of us. Philadelphia is in third place, and in Central Division, Cleveland did not play. They are 35-23. Where are they as far as the Pacers are concerned? Pacers did not play. Okay, so they're still a game and a half ahead of the Indiana, Milwaukee. And the Bucks. Two games back. In the Southeast Division, there's Washington in first place, who seems to be doing extremely well without John Wall. And then there's the Miami Heat. They won, so they're three games back. In the Western Conference, Golden State pounded the Thunder. And 112-80. Yikes. Not even close. They're 46-14. Best record in the NBA. But... Houston is 45-13, and they did not play. And they're way ahead of San Antonio in the Southwest. And out north, Minnesota. Even though I think Jimmy Butler, I got hurt in the Friday night game. And I haven't heard any status on him. But They're there with Oklahoma City a game and a half back, Denver, Portland, and Utah all in the race out there in the Northwest Division of the NBA. It's 4:41 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet. www.wmfo.org, multicasting, and iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, and this is Sunday, February 25th, 2018 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Got to give a shout out to my other son, Brent Brown. Yesterday was his birthday. Not going to tell you how old he was. Happy birthday, belated. And the reason I did that, because he is the founder of A Brown Perspective on Sports. About 17, 18 years ago now, I guess. Quite a while back. But he moved out to Peabody, and then he dropped it all in my lap. So therefore, I picked it up, and I'm running with it as best I can. At my age. Okay, 4:41 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. This is the Sunday, February 25th, 2018 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Drive. If you're under the influence of anything, never even think about getting behind the wheel of a car and driving. People die that way. And so therefore, as a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio, A Brown Perspective on Sports, and Sounds of Praise, we are urging you, don't drink and drive. Okay, 4:46 here at WMFO in Medford, the Brown Perspective on Sports, and we've got to go to the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. I've only been seeing and been able to see, because of my schedule, bits and pieces of it. Generally, the highlights on the news after the events have been run, because some of the times of the just did not fit into my schedule. But the amazing thing is that Norway, I guess that should not should be so amazing, but Norway is leading in the medal count with 39 total medals. They have 14 goals, 14 silvers, and 11 assists. 11 assists. 11 broads. I got my sports a little confused here. Germany has 31 medals, 14 gold, 10 silver, and 7 bronze. Canada has 29 medals, 11 gold, 8 silver, and 10 bronze. The USA has 23, 9 gold, 8 silver, and 6 bronze. And Korea has 17, 5 gold, 8 silver, and 4 bronze. And I don't know if that's a big upset as far as the Americans are concerned. People thought that they would do a lot better. They thought they would medal, if not getting gold, but in the figure skating. And so far, they have not done really well there. But hey, you know, the other teams, other countries are out there, you know, doing their thing as well. And some of the things I see these people doing on skis and skate in snowboards are just to me unbelievable, but that's the name of the game. And so if you are a fan, you are well aware of individuals like Chloe Kim, and then there are the others whose names escape me right now. Lindsey Vonn, you know. There are a whole bunch of them out there, and hey, good. Michaela Schifrin, yeah, Jamie Anderson, Sean White, you know, so there you go. Like I said, most of those sports I only watch, you know, when they're having, you know, the Olympics or something like that. Most of those events, I guess I should say. So anyway, that's what's going on, and maybe if you're disappointed as far as the number of medals the United States, I'll be okay. I haven't had my coffee yet. I won't get my coffee till about 9 o'clock or so. So you got to bear with me. And the orange juice, I guess, is hopefully clearing up my throat. Anyway, we'll see. This is what the final day coming up of the Olympics, and so it's not very likely that we're going to vault out of third place, fourth place, I guess we're in. It'd be unlikely that we get 6 medals, but anyway, maybe there's some events that I didn't see on my computer when I got all this information to bring to you today. But anyway, congratulations to those of you out there who won medals, and those of you who are cheering for the people who won medals. And so, therefore, better luck next time. Keep the skates in the to the ice and everything else, and we'll see what we do next time. We've got a lot of younger players coming up, so they should be there in 4 years. We'll see. Okay, golf Honda Classic. Luke List, who I've never heard of, is 7 under and in first place in the Honda Classic, and Tiger Woods is 7 off the lead. So therefore, you know, as we go into the final round, and with the Masters, you know, on the horizon back in, you know, coming up in April, you know, see if Woods can get his game close to competitiveness in when the big matches that are coming up. Nobody else seems to, none of the bigger names, you know, Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth and some of the others haven't been exactly racking up, you know, big numbers either. So Golf is a game that I guess, you know, you may get on a winning streak for a while, but unless you're exceptional, you know, like the Tiger Woods and the Jack Nicklauses and the Arnold Palmers and the Sammy Sneeds and the Ben Hogans and people like that, you know, you win your share, but you don't get anywhere near, like Vern Mickelson. But Mickelson, who was a golfer also, the other Vern was a basketball player. You know, they have reached their peak probably, and they aren't contending for too many championships now either. So, hats off to those guys who were at the top of the heap and stayed there for a long period of time. It ain't easy, that's what I'm trying to say. So, anyway, good luck. 4:52 here on WMFO. I'm stuttering through another edition of Brown Perspective on Sports. And 8 minutes more. Let's cover two things. I'll give you the Red Sox scores because, you know, we're homers. So, as far as spring training is concerned. But to me, it doesn't mean much unless somebody breaks out and has a sensational spring. But even that doesn't guarantee anything because you're not always playing against the other team's best pitchers or hitters and everything else. So the lineups are all mixed up and mashed up and separate seven. Sometimes the teams play two games on the same day, so they don't have all the veterans and everything else out there. Red Sox, I really can't get a handle on what's going on as far as the J.D. Martinez contract is concerned. I'm assuming it's a health issue. How bad a health issue is it? I think they're rewriting the contract because of the health issue. Is he going to get less money, less years, or whatever? I don't know, because I don't know what the health issue is. No one knows. That's right, I know. At least if they have, they haven't said anything about it. And so anyway, we're just going to wait and see. Martinez is certainly going to add some pop to the lineup. I can see the Red Sox probably alternating Hanley Ramirez and Mitch Moreland at first base. And probably in close games, bringing Moreland off the bench in the late innings to play defense. Right now, I would say Eduardo Nunez has the top spot at second base. Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. And I didn't write his name down, but our third baseman, our rookie third baseman, he should be there. And I didn't bring that other information with me either. But he should be there at third base. And then there's Benintendi, Bradley, and Betts. I saw something in Sports Illustrated where Betts was ranked the sixth best player in the in Major League Baseball. He had a great year 2 years ago. Fell off last year. And a lot of that was due probably to the absence of David Ortiz in the lineup. You'd rather pitch to Betts. And I guess last year they pitched around him a lot. And so therefore he was swinging at some pitches that he probably shouldn't have swung at, and therefore the dip in the average. And I don't understand all this. Well, it wasn't a lot of fun in the locker room kind of talk that's going out there and blaming it on John Farrell and whatnot. You pay to play ball. Play to have fun. if you're winning, you have fun too, as well as play ball. But you know. So and then we have Nunez. When Dustin Pedroia gets back, we have Nunez who can rotate at third base, outfield, shortstop. Brock Holt may not make the ball club, and that's kind of interesting to me because Brock is obviously, when he's healthy, and that's the main thing I would say would be the health issue. But we have Swihart, who is a switch-hitting catcher, who can also play the outfield. The fact that he ran into the wall and hurt his foot a couple of years ago. It had nothing to do with his ability to play. And the guy, you know, coming up was a infielder, shortstop, I believe. Switch hitter, hits for power. I don't know. If Christian Vasquez is the number one catcher, maybe Sandy Leon, although Chris Sale likes Sandy Leon. maybe you got to find a place for his bat. There's a guy I'd be looking at in spring training to see what he does. Not only is he other options, but you don't really want to let him go and then have him explode somewhere else. Because he has that great potential, I do believe. And I mean, and how many switch hitting catchers are there? How many switch hitters? If he can just hit, you find a position for him, right? First base, second base, shortstop, third base, whatever. And get him out there as often as you possibly can. I understand they're not going to rush Rodriguez back into the rotation. So I would not be surprised if Wright makes it. And when Rodriguez comes back, go with a six-man rotation. And why would you do that, Donnelly? Because Sale obviously fell off because of all of the games and innings he pitched last year. And so, therefore, a six-man rotation would give him an extra day's rest, less innings. And I think we need Wright because we don't want to be too left-handed. Hopefully, Price comes back. Porcello had Cy Young year and then fell off the cliff also. So we're looking for him. Pomerantz had a very good year. Didn't get all the publicity and everything else that everybody else got. And some of the publicity was not for the best of reasons. But anyway, I think that overall, a six-man rotation and that Rodriguez coming back, April, May, whenever, without having to be rushed into the rotation, and hopefully his knee is okay. And I think we got a good shot at being a really good ball club. The bullpen looks good, but I'll talk about that next Sunday. It's 4:58 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, putting the wraps on this edition of our Brown Perspective on Sports. To be back next Sunday, Lord willing, at 4 a.m. To do it all over again. And invite you to stay tuned for Sounds of Praise coming your way very shortly. We are, as I said earlier in the program, we are featuring the countdown of the top 200 hits in the gospel field for the year 2017. And we got a lot of great music lined up for you. You don't want to miss it. And so until then, it's your host, Donnelly Brown, saying God bless. Have a fantastic day and week. Hope to see you next Sunday at 4 a.m. when we do it all over again. Stay tuned for Sounds of Praise.